So, good morning. So this, well, hi, Dennis, thank you. So this talk is to support our Whitestone service, actually. And it's all right if you weren't a part of the Whitestone service. What the Whitestone service was and will be for annually is when we, I like to liken it to when Mary, Mother Mary, first heard Spirit speak to her and say that you are impregnated. And the name of that Christ thought, that genuine thought, is Jesus. The word that came to you in the white stone is similar to that. That is the truth of the growth that is coming out within you. Now again, and how many of you were here for the white stone service? Yeah, the majority of you. For you who weren't, no worries, because God doesn't just send these thoughts, these words to us in that one special ceremony. That's just an opening to meditate and allow it to come through. But God sends these messages to us on a daily basis. I invite you, if you and those and the live cam, if you don't haven't done it, it's just very simple. Meditate. Say, I'm open and receptive to you, God, to send me your word. The word that I will hold and carry for the year as my truth. And allow God to speak to you and allow yourself the courage to write down that which God spoke to you as your theme. But it's so easy for us that now it's been a couple of weeks since that's happened for us to kind of look at our stone and go, that was a nice ceremony, and keep walking, yes? Let's be honest. Some of us have put them on the altar and we look at the white stone, but the more the weeks and the days go by, the preciousness of that process and of that word kind of diminishes a little bit. And that's pretty human of us. Because for the most part, when we hear that word of God, a lot of times it's like this vision that comes to us and it gives us passion. It enlivens us and it provides us with these possibilities of us evolving into something greater. And then what happens? We start poo-pooing it, yeah. We start going, well, that was a great thought, but I can't, or I won't. It's similar to the daily word message that Karin talked about with world peace, you know, about I am only one. We start talking these things. I'm only one person, vast and complex world. You know, I sometimes feel helpless in the face of global tensions and of all the tensions of our own world. We allow these things to come up within us and to be back the baby that we've given birth to. Mary called it Jesus. You called it something else. And so this talk is the continuation of the story of Jesus. Now, we went through Luke to talk about the birth of Jesus. I'm going to go over to Matthew, actually, second chapter, because that gives us a little bit more about Jesus as a little infant. And through this story, I would love to share how metaphysically it's interpreted, how we can take this baby and nurture it, and so that we can continue to nurture it to move forward with this beautiful word. Because know that even as the story goes, even Mary had her own tensions. And so let us read a little bit of it. I'm going to read some of it, and of course, I'm going to put my own little spin on it, as I usually do. So this starts just after the three wise men have come to look at baby Jesus. Now, know that the three wise men were sent by the King Herod. Now, King Herod sent the three wise men supposedly to find the baby Jesus, to send it blessings. But the three wise men knew better, because the King Herod had other plans for baby Jesus. Because the three wise men were then supposed to tell the king where it was. After the three wise men got there, they did their offering of frankincense and myrrh and blessed, and were blessed by it. But they knew that because that King Herod wanted to actually send out other people, other knights, to kill baby Jesus. But they went against the king. And after their visit, they left. They did not go back to their duty. They went back to their homelands. And it said that approximately 2 years after that is when King Herod found out that he had been duped by the wise men. That the wise men weren't going to tell him anything. And that he had to find it out himself where this baby Jesus was. So what he did was that he sent out his people to kill any firstborn male from two and under, from all the families. And this is where the Bible story continues. Now after they being the three wise men, had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you you can leave. I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And so what did Joseph do? Joseph, being the dutiful father, this man father, got up and did as God asked him to protect Jesus, to protect this beautiful consciousness that was implanted within the Mother Mary of God's truth, of God's truth of all of us. And so, Joseph did this out of a prophecy. Finally, when Herod died, an angel came back from the Lord to Joseph and appeared in the dream again to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. And for those who were seeking a child's life are dead." But Joseph then found out that Herod's son had taken over and decided, no, that is not the wise place. And after he found this out, he was warned again in a dream and went away to the distance of Nazareth so that his son, Jesus, this child, could be called a Nazarene. So how in all of this nice story does this break down to how you can no longer allow the ego to diminish the truth of who you are, who you have been created to be, to torment you out of your truth? I love how Fillmore metaphysically interprets everything. And so let me break this down in a sense that you can take a hold of it. First of all, dreams. There's a lot of things about dreams. Charles Fillmore says that dreams are the way in which we bring our walls down in our sleep so that we can hear more clearly the voice of God. Because when we're awake, there's too many things interrupting us, yes? The world, the life, I have to go to the store, I need to do this, I have to go to work, I don't like that, I like this, blah, blah, blah. But when we're sleeping, it is more of a chance where spirit can move in and guide us. And this is where Joseph is that in his dreams, he is able to hear and embrace the truth. An angel is a messenger of God, the word of God, and to move forward. And what is he told? That Herod represents our personal ego. Now, in most religions, we hear a lot about ego. In unity, we're taught that we're not here to destroy the ego. Don't forget that God made everything on earth and it was created to be good. But the personal ego has gone in an error way. The personal ego has gone in a way based on fear, based on power, based on misinformation. And what we need to do, and what our purpose is here to do, is to spiritualize the ego, to provide a spiritual ego, so that it's an ego that is alive and wants to work for the truth of who we're supposed to be. That word that was implanted in you, to be able to allow that to be nurtured and to grow so that you can evolve in that spiritual truth. But we have to lay down our personal. We have to allow and be able to move forward so that personal ego can be laid to rest, meaning the death of Herod. So why did they go to Egypt? I know that Egypt in the Bible is this dark place. Metaphysically, it is our subconscious. For this purpose, especially with a young sapling that's about to be killed by our ego, i.e., that vision of greatness. How many of us have had a vision of greatness only to allow ourselves to be duped? Sometimes within our own subconsciousness, in that dark place, it's all right to go into hiding. Remember when we were children and we played hide and seek? And the darkness wasn't that scary of a place. Usually we ran into a dark place where people couldn't find us. That's all this means, is that there's a dark protective place in our subconscious. It isn't where we want to stay, but until we know as little children that we're all right, that the big boogeyman that is considered our ego can't find us, that we can stay there for a little while, out of harm's way, until our ego, which is based in fear, subsides, till it gives way to something greater. And it was then that Joseph, that intellect that wants to obey God, that Mary, that love, that soul love of God that wants to be obedient to God, could bring forth the truth of Jesus, the joy of Jehovah, the Savior, can start being born and being raised. See, beloveds, it's all right. We're human. It is natural for us that when we have this grand idea to be scared of it, but we can get moved beyond it by allowing ourselves to tuck away until we can figure out how we can get our ego in check before bringing it out. And we do that by going to a higher place. We do that by going to Israel, which is our spiritual consciousness. But what happens here is that our spiritual consciousness is not even mature yet, which is why we continue to allow the ego to continue to move us forward, move us away from it, which is why he chose to go to Judah, go to a place of prayer and praise. Go to a place where he could then move forward to a place that was actually not recommended to go to. How many of you knew or know that Nazarene was actually a place that people didn't want to travel to? That Nazareth was a place that was thought of as below everybody. It was a common place. It didn't have any thrills or chills. It's written in the Bible that no good could come from Nazareth. And yet, the truth of who you are gives fruit there, bears fruit. Why? Because it is absent of the shine and the gleam of the material world. Because the truth is, it is the material world that ego, the ego's like a fairy that likes to look at glowing things that go, ooh, when something is nice and glowy over here, or ooh, when something is nice and glowy over there. And they can't focus in on the truth of allowing just a bareness to be, being in a common place, being where you are not distracted, but you can just give birth and plant your seed for that to continue to grow and nurture in a beautiful way. I equate it to, in like the Buddha, stripping himself of his riches, of princely riches, to move forward to meditate under the Bodhi tree, to move himself away from all the glimmer and the glamour, and to be able to just be so that the spirit of God can ring true, bring forth the fruits of what the truth is, of how we can get out of the suffering, which is to get out of our attachments, to be able to go to a common place where there is nothing for us to be attached. In the Buddhist, it's called the original mind, beyond thought, before thought. It's before our ego thoughts can capture us, and so that we can be deprived of that, so that we can move forward in knowing the glory and the greatness of the fruit of the truth that God has implanted with us, that we have given birth to, so that we don't get caught up in those thoughts that tell us, no, you can't do that. No, you can't be that. What makes you think that you're better than anyone? What makes you think that you can be the Christ? What makes you think that you are the Christ? Because, beloved, each and every one of us were created to be the Christ. Each and every one of us are created to know joy. Each and every one of us are created to move beyond the boundaries of fear, move beyond the boundaries of limitation, and to grab a hold of the truth of who we are. And the word that you received, or the word that you will receive, will allow you to evolve from the male ego, the I, the personal ego, which only wants to accomplish things of the world, and to allow you to evolve to a spiritual truth where there is no fear of want or lack of limitation. Because once you get to that spiritual truth, you will find that everything on this earth is already available to you. You don't have to worry about it. You will already be in the flow, in the manifestation, if you continue just to allow God to speak to you and to grab hold of it and to move forward with it. And the way that you do that is to be all right with the humanist part of us who doesn't want to look at that stone and look at that word anymore. And to then now move into a place, a spiritual consciousness where you say, I am all right being in a place that is stark. I am all right being in Nazareth where it isn't glamour or glitz. I am all right in my prayer and meditation to move forward just in the being before thought and the before mind, to clear away anything that will get me, to move me, to clear my mind so that I will not be distracted by anything except to be continually open and receptive to hearing the continual lessons and the truth that God wants to bestow within me. To be open to the fruits and the lessons and the nurturing and the water and all the things that will flow within us so that this child continues to be born. Born in the truth. Born without fear. Born to be a testimony to everyone else who is looking at us to say, how are they achieving such greatness? How are they moving forward with the passions and their dreams coming to manifestation effortlessly? You will be the testimony because you will now find that you have moved forward, moved aside and moved forward, allowing yourself to be in a place where there is only you and God. And that's all you need. You don't need any of the glamour. I mean, yes, you need food. You need the hierarchy of the stuff. But all your needs are already there. So it's time for us to go back to our word. Go back to it with a passion and a fervor. And if you didn't understand why you got that word, and if you're about to go into the meditation and get a word, again, don't argue, just ask why if you don't understand, because I'm a true believer that God answers you at all times. Now, I say this because I have a Catholic friend who used to argue with me all the time. I think this is a Catholic train of thought, and some Jewish people have said the same thing, that you don't ask God too many questions. I had a friend who I used to work with who a priest told her that she asked God too many questions, and that's why she wasn't hearing anything. No, 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 no. I tell you, we don't ask enough questions of God, and then we don't open ourselves up to listen to what God has to tell us. If you don't understand the word, ask God to guide you. What is it? Tell me. Enlighten me. I'll go to sleep so that I can dream, so you can give me the vision. Just be open to it. That's all you're asked to do. That is the only thing that you need to do to move, to allow this little infant that has been born within you as you to continue to grow so that you can move beyond the man I ego into the spiritual I am. And so with that, I invite you, if you need some assistance with it, if you want an affirmation to go with it, I invite you to use this week's affirmation. Let us say this a couple times together. First, the Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. Let that resonate within you. Breathe that in. Again, the Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. Let that reverberate. Because it is the truth of your word. It's awakening you to all that you already are. Last time, the Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. And so it is. And so next week we'll continue on with what you do to allow this to grow into who you truly are and who you are created to be. God bless you.